We'll read again Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle decrease. Again they are minished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And we ask his blessing upon his word. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, as we looked at this psalm, we concentrated on those three verses, didn't we? O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And we looked at it in perhaps a fairly general way, and we're going to look closer into this psalm now, because as we noticed this morning, that verse, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, intersperses this psalm with various events in the lives of men. As I said this morning, this is a psalm of God's providential dealing with men, God's dealing with all men. Every man, woman, and child present tonight knows and experiences God's providential dealings. They might not recognize it, they might not acknowledge it, but the saint should. What was the last verse of the psalm? It says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, then they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoso is wise, we need to seek that heavenly wisdom to observe these things, to understand them, to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. If we do such a thing, it will help us in our pilgrim pathway through this life. If we learn to observe and discern the providential dealings of our Lord with us, it will bless our own souls, it will strengthen us, it will help us as we pass through this perverse and this wicked generation. So we know there are not many wise, but what does James tell us? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally to all men. A prayer that should be upon all our lips, praying that we would have wisdom to understand the times that we live in. Pray that we'd have wisdom to understand those trials, those difficulties that we're passing through. Wisdom that we'd understand the Lord's providential dealings with each one of us. This psalm, as I said, is divided up by those verses. In verse 8, we have, O that men, verse 15 again, verse 21, and verse 31. And in this psalm, we can see the Lord's providential dealings with those that are captive. That's verse 2, talking about the redeemed, who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. In verse 10, we have, they sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. In verse 4, we have God's providential dealings with the traveller. They wandered in the wilderness. And then God's providential dealings to the sick in 17. Fools, because of the transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. And then also in verse 23, we have God's providential dealings with the seafarer. Every part of our life, in one way or another, is covered in this psalm. And then the last part of the psalm, from verse 33 onwards, says it's God's providential dealings with nations, with countries. Perhaps harder to understand the Lord's dealings. But again, if we pray for wisdom, the Lord will help us. And we know, as Christians, don't we? And we say it so often. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes. And this psalm confirms that to us. We see these people in trouble. They cry unto the Lord. The Lord answers them, and the Lord delivers them, and the Lord uses these events to their good. These providential dealings, if we recognize them, will help us to strengthen our faith, but also give us great reason to praise our Lord, to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Alas, so many people don't recognize the providential dealings of the Lord. Many a traveller has been lost and then found, but won't acknowledge the Lord's hand in it. Many a prisoner has been freed and won't acknowledge the Lord. Many a sick person has been restored to a measure of health and strength and will not honour the Lord, will not praise the Lord. Many a seafarer has passed through severe storms and got safely to his harbour, but won't acknowledge the hand of the Lord. But as his people, we should learn to discern the hand of the Lord in the various events, in the various trials that befall our life. And we should be thankful that he has delivered us, that we should give praise unto his name. As I said, the world will pass through these events and not give thanks. I can remember hearing several years ago, just after I was converted, a man that had been through the First World War, a Christian, and he said, when the shells were flying overhead, everybody believed in God. But how many really went on and acknowledged the Lord's preservation of them, the Lord's keeping of them? I can remember reading about some sailors rowing across the Atlantic. And it was before the modern days when everybody has mobile phones and satellite phones and so on. And they'd run out of provisions. And they were desperate. And it said in this book, they prayed. And a boat appeared. And they managed to replenish with water and provisions. Read on in the book. They don't thank the Lord. They don't acknowledge his providential dealings with them. And alas, so many in this world will not acknowledge the Lord's dealings with them. But as true children of God, we should always be ready to acknowledge his good hand upon us, to acknowledge his deliverance, to discern the Lord's providence in our lives, because all things work for our good, that if we understand them, if we consider them aright, we will see the loving kindness of the Lord to us, and we will be strengthened for the days that lie ahead, for that next event, that next storm or what have you. We know that the Lord has been with us through one. He will be with us through this one. The Lord has helped, the Lord has sustained, and the Lord has strengthened. And so let us seek that wisdom from above, that we may understand what is going on in our lives and round about us. And the providence that I've just mentioned, travellers, seafarers, sickness, physical events, let us not forget there's a spiritual understanding behind them. All these events are for our spiritual good. We need to dig deeper. We need to consider them with a bit more depth and see the spiritual effect they have. The results of all these providential dealings are, in verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. Verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. These physical dealings have that effect to drive these men to their knees in prayer, drove these men to cry out to the Lord for help, for deliverance. Notice the cry. They were desperate. They were earnest. They were pleading. But the Lord drove them to prayer and then answered. These events in their lives, these difficulties, had that spiritual blessing. And so how important it is that we should pray at all times, that when we have difficulties, we pray unto the Lord to help us, to strengthen us, to deliver us from them. In all these events, these men were strengthened spiritually because they prayed unto the Lord and they had their prayers answered. Every one of those prayers has been answered. They cried in their trouble and he delivered them. They cried in their trouble and he saved them. They cry in their trouble and he saveth them out of their distresses. The storm ceased. The storm was calm. Those sailors cried and he brought them out of their distresses. A lesson for us all, that the providences of God are so often used by him to drive us to our knees, to show us that only one can deliver us from such trials and such afflictions, and that is the Lord. So often, don't we, when we have difficulties, when we have problems, we look round at other people, at other solutions to our difficulties. We need to be on our knees praying to the Lord to deliver us. The trials might be many and varied, but only the Lord can deliver from them all. It reminds us that there is salvation in no other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. There is only salvation in the Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way of being delivered, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, crying unto Christ for deliverance, for salvation, to save us from the trials. And so let us learn from these providences, and let us learn to pray, to be earnest in our praying, to cry unto the Lord. And another reason for these providential dealings, it does magnify the Lord, doesn't it? The Lord is honoured when he delivers these people from their trials, them from their distresses. We've read that verse 6, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And then we have, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Having been delivered from a trial, we can praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works. It drives us closer to the Lord in prayer. It makes us realise the goodness of the Lord to us. It makes us realise his wonderful works. And so, as we read this psalm, we see God's providential dealings with men. As I said, we see men going about everyday activities, travellers, seafarers. We also see two incidents here where the Lord uses providence to chastise. In verse 10 we read, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. They were in such a situation because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, condemned or despised the counsel of God. And so they were brought low. They were chastised by the Lord. Again, a picture of men in their natural state. We're in darkness before we knew the Lord. We're in the shadow of death, for the wages of sin is death. We were bound in affliction in iron. We were captive to our sins. Satan had bound us. We'd rebelled against the word of God. We had no interest in the word of God. In fact, we might well have despised the word of God. We didn't want to read it. We didn't want to hear it preached. But then, verse 12 says, therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down. There was none to help. The sin bore down upon them. They realised that they could do nothing. They were burdened. Their heart was burdened. There was nothing they could do to release them from their afflictions, from their bondage. But then we cried unto the Lord for deliverance, for help, to help in the time of trouble. And he saved us out of our distresses. And so we have that description of the sinner. But it could also be true of the Christian that has wandered away from the Lord, that has no interest in God's word, that indeed so often can end up despising God's word. But the Lord is good. He, in his providential dealings, he uses it to chastise the Christian, to bring them back. In Psalm 38, we read about David in that penitential psalm. Psalm 38, the first few verses says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are over mine head, as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. David sinned a new bodily affliction. The Lord was dealing with him, was dealing with his sin and his rebellion, used it to bring him back, used it for him to cry unto the Lord for forgiveness, for salvation, and the Lord restored him. In verses 17 and 18 of our psalm, we read, fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. What's the fool? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool, because of their transgression, they have broken God's law. Because of their iniquities, their sins, they're afflicted. And we see the effects. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They can't eat because they're so sick. They draw near unto the gates of death. Their sin has afflicted them so much that they're approaching death. Verse 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. He saveth them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction, from their death. The Lord had used illness to cause this man to ponder these things, to realize that he was close to death, that he could do nothing, that he was a fool, that he was a sinner, that he had transgressed God's law. He cried unto God for salvation, and the Lord restored him. And so the Lord does use these dealings to chastise us. But not all providential dealings are because of sin. The Lord does use, and as we'll see in a minute, I'm going to say everyday events in to strengthen our faith as well. But some of the providential dealings of God can be because of sin, and therefore we need wisdom to examine ourselves to see what is the cause, why the Lord is leading us in such a path. As I said, not all sickness is a result of sin, but we do know that sickness is a result of sin because of the fall. And remember those words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, didn't he? He said that there was sickness among them. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, because they were not obeying the Lord. They were not going about remembering the Lord in that correct manner. But notice for that sick man, in verse 20 he says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from his destruction. Again reminds us the importance of the word of God. Whatever providence we find ourselves in, whatever difficulty we find ourselves in, whatever trial we're passing through, the Lord's word will help us and will strengthen us. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was that living word, and he is the one that came in to deliver men from the sickness unto death. He is that balm of Gilead that was sent to heal, to restore sinners. And so we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, these providential dealings will point men and women to the only way of salvation, will point them to their Saviour. And as I said, these other dealings are not necessarily the results of sin. We have that traveller we have those seafarers. It says about the seafarers, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. They were about their everyday business. They were seamen. They go to sea and they come across a storm. And so it can be like ourselves. We can be about our everyday lawful business and we can come across difficulties. We can come across trials. The traveller in the wilderness, when we feel lost, when we feel that we're solitary, that we don't know where we're going, it reminds us that as believers, we're supposed to be pilgrims and strangers in this land, that we have no permanent abode. Our city is in heaven, and that is where we're to go. We're to be like Abraham. We're to be men of faith. Abraham, he sojourned in the land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle. These providential dealings can so often remind us, and are used by the Lord to remind us, that we shouldn't be seeking to set down roots in this sin-sick world, that we are pilgrims and strangers, that we have that heavenly city that is permanent, that we shouldn't be seeking to build great edifices in this world, that we should hold on to everything loosely in this world, that indeed we will be solitary if we're really the Lord's people. At work, if we're really the Lord's, we'll be shunned. We won't have true friendship there unless we have fellow believers, because our fellowship is with, like them, a precious faith. But as the wanderer in the wilderness, no city to dwell in, they were hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them. The Lord led them forth by the right way. We cry unto the Lord, and he leads us. His word provides us with that guide, with the right path to follow. He leads us to that city of habitation, to that heavenly Jerusalem. And so, as I said, these dealings are used by the Lord to remind us of our heavenly citizenship, that we're only passing through this world. But again, hunger and thirst, we're in the wilderness, reminds us that nothing in this world can satisfy us. There's no spiritual nourishment in this world. Only Christ can nourish and feed us. He's the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. A reminder that our sustenance is in Christ and Christ alone. Nothing in this world will satisfy that hunger and that thirst. If we do, our souls shall faint. But if we're trusting Christ, if we're feeding on him, our souls shall be satisfied, and we'll be able to march through this wilderness. We will be pilgrims and strangers, but we'll be strong in our Lord. He will deliver us. He will satisfy us. He will fill that hungry soul with goodness. The Lord will deliver. And then verses 23 to 27, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. As I said, seafarers about there every day. A wonderful description of what it's like to be in a storm at sea. I don't know whether many of you have, but I have passed through quite a storm. And it's quite a vivid description here. The waves lifting and tossing the boat about. And then we get this description of the men. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man. They're at the wit's end. The boat is tossed about. They're trying to tie things down, but they can't. The movement is too great. They're staggering about. They're at their wit's end. They can do nothing else, except they can try unto the Lord. And he heard them in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. Again, the storm shows us the power of God, the might of God, reminds men and women of their weakness, of their impotence. The sailors of all men should see and do see the power of creation, should remind them of their inability to control it. It should drive them to their knees to recognize and worship their Creator. Sometimes it does, but alas, so often it doesn't. But for us that know that the Lord is the Creator, these events should remind us of His power, of His greatness. Couldn't help but think of these winter storms that have gone past. What has been the response of our government? We'll build bigger dikes. We will do this. We'll dredge more or whatever. The response should have been, Lord, help us. Lord, deliver us from these distresses. For the believer, that is our prayer. The world, as I said, so often imagines that they can build bigger dikes and what have you. But the next storm that comes along, we will see the power of God again. The world will probably ignore him and again seek to build bigger dikes. One day, they're going to realize their folly. One day, they will cry out, alas, it might be too late. But the reaction of the sailors, they cry out, and the Lord, he commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, and then he commandeth and stops the storm. The other week we were considering the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't we, when he went across the lake with the disciples, how he calmed the storm, he rebuked the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm. And the men marvelled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And that should be our response, that the Lord commands the waves and the wind. Alas, as I said, so many sailors, people won't acknowledge the Lord, but we know that he is the one that sends the wind and the waves and the storms. The correct response is to cry unto the Lord for deliverance, to cry unto the Lord for help. But not only does the Lord deliver, we've said in verse 6, they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them out of their distresses. Verse 13, cried Lord in their trouble and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 19, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and he saveth them out of their distresses. And verse 28 again, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble and he bringeth them out of their distresses. The Lord not only brings them out, but he also blesses them. But in this praying, when they cry, they're urgent, they're earnest in that prayer. And so often it is those dark providences that do drive us to our knees in earnestness for praying, into sincere prayer, and we need to learn to pray aright. But as I said, they cry unto the Lord and he delivers, he saves, he bringeth them out of their distresses. What more could they ask for? But the Lord does abundantly bless, because verse 6, it says, they cried and he brought them out of their distresses, but he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Not only does the Lord deliver, he brought them to a city of habitation. And then verse 9, he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And then verse 13, they cried, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He brake their bands in sunder. He hath broken the gates of brass and cut their bars of iron in sunder. The Lord had delivered. The Lord granted freedom to the prisoner. Again, not only does the Lord deliver, but he also blesses abundantly to those that cry upon his name. Those hungry were satisfied. They were no longer seeking, but their soul was longing to know the truth, and they were eager in their prayer. That prisoner was brought out of darkness into the light of the Word of God, into the liberty of the gospel. The sailors were delivered from the storm, and they were brought unto their desired haven. We will be delivered from the storms of life. The Lord does bring us to that desired haven of heaven. What a blessing. The Lord does answer our prayers over and above all that we can ask or even imagine, we do indeed have every reason to praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so no wonder the psalmist can say that, can exclaim that praise, and would have every man to praise the Lord for his goodness and to his wonderful works to men. And when we have experienced such deliverance, we need to make sure that we thank the Lord, that we give thanks, that we praise him for his goodness towards us. And then as we come to this last part, where the psalmist talks about nations and countries, we read in verse 33, he turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and they sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth content upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet he setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. Very difficult to understand the Lord's providential dealings with nations. But he's telling us there that at times the Lord blesses nations. He makes them fruitful. He turns barrenness into a fruitful land. He'll turn a fruitful land into barrenness because of wickedness. He does make the hungry to dwell in cities. Fields are sown, vineyards are harvested. There is fruits and yields of increase. They're multiplied greatly. The cattle are blessed. But again, they're minished and brought low. The Lord does work out his purpose in nations. It can be very difficult to fully understand. But we have one example of the Lord working in a nation. The Egyptians and Pharaoh. We saw how they were great and brought low, how they suffered plagues and disease and affliction until they released the people of Israel. Verse 42 says, the righteous will see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. The people of Israel saw that deliverance. The people of Israel saw those providential dealings on the Egyptians. They rejoiced, and in all iniquity shall stop her mouth. The Egyptians were drowned. Their mouth was stopped. They could no longer blaspheme the Lord, deny his ways. The Lord was exalted in that. And so it is harder to understand what is going on in nations. But let us remember, whatever happens in the nation that we live in what is happening overseas, the Lord is working out his purpose. And at the end, the righteous will see it. Those rulers, those people that have blasphemed the Lord, that have broken and trampled his law underfoot, their mouths shall be stopped one day. We read here as well, it reminds us, verse 40, he poureth contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the way of wilderness. And I was thinking, it's strange at work, we have some apprentices, and you can mention Mrs. Thatcher, and they don't know who she was. They hardly know who Tony Blair was. These are people that were raised up. These were people that the nation put great trust in. I can remember the great excitement when Tony Blair became Prime Minister. People thought he was going to do great things. More recently, Barack Obama as President of the States. They all got excited, various people. But what do we see about them? They're wandering in a wilderness. People have forgotten them. They haven't. These providential dealings remind us, as the psalmist says, in Psalm 146. Psalm 46. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. We observe the rulers, but we don't put our trust in princes. It reminds us that they all have feet of clay. There is only one that changes not, and that is the Lord. We're to put our trust in him, not in princes. And again, just recently, we've had all these elections and the great excitement again. But let us remember, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The Lord raises up, the Lord casts down. The Lord appoints leaders, the Lord will remove leaders. We can see the Lord at work, but we know that he is working out his purposes, and in the end, we will see his loving kindness. These leaders might be used to bless a nation, they might be used to judge a nation. Again, I was just thinking, you know, all this excitement about elections. Our Lord knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. So he certainly knows who the leaders are that he's appointed. And as I said, our trust is not in princes, not in rulers. Our trust is in the Lord. And let us learn to view what is going on in these nations through that prism, with that understanding that it is the Lord that is in control over nations as well. We see God's dealings with them, but we know that the righteous will see it and rejoice. Verse 41, I thought, yet he setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The poor in spirit, he doth indeed set on high. And he gives us families like a flock. He gives his saints in the wilderness a little flock. He gives us a church, the blessing that the Lord has given us. We all have a church to belong to. Let us count that as one of his blessings to us. Let us praise the Lord that we have a church where we can meet with people of like precious faith, pilgrims and strangers, and so we can encourage one another as we go through this barren land. And so let us ask for that wisdom to observe the providences aright. As we read in verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let us ask for that wisdom to understand that loving kindness, and then we will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen.